According to multiple reports, NBA legend Kobe Bryant has been killed in a helicopter crash. Bryant, widely considered one of the greatest basketball players of all time, was reportedly one of five people killed in the crash in Calabasas, California today. Bryant was 41 years old.
Some days you don't know what to expect.
And that was tough news yesterday for a lot of people across the country. Sports fans, and not only sports fans, but people know that Kobe Bryant was more than just a professional basketball player. And Kobe Bryant passing away at the age of 41 yesterday. We will get reaction. We'll hear from Magic Johnson, Greg Popovich, LeBron James. Interesting what he had to say the night before Kobe passed away, because LeBron passed Kobe on the all-time scoring list into third all-time the very night before Kobe Bryant passed away, which was Saturday night. Kobe passed away yesterday about 9:47 a.m. is when they reported the crash or people on the scene of the helicopter. And based on what we know, the last tweet that Kobe sent out was congratulating LeBron James on passing him on the scoring list. So LeBron was asked a question about Kobe Bryant after he passed Kobe on the all-time scoring list, and LeBron talked about Kobe for almost 5 minutes. I'm going to play that whole thing because it tells you how much of an impact Kobe Bryant had on LeBron James and also a lot of young people when it comes to basketball in particular. So we will cover all that coming up, but I want to make sure that we give enough time to what we need to cover as well on top of it. And so if you are tuning in to listen to various things about Kobe Bryant, we will do that. But first, we're going to handle the local sports angle and also Big 12 basketball with KU and K-State and Wichita State. And then we will spend a good amount of time on the show on Kobe Bryant. So over the weekend, there were some champions crowned in basketball tournaments and wrestling tournaments as well.
Here come the Lady Bulldogs. Felicity Conway too strong with the layup, and the clock runs out. The Thunder Ridge Lady Longhorns, for the seventh consecutive season, are the NCL tournament champions, winning 71-44 over the Osborne Lady Bulldogs. Osborne will dribble out the clock. Final score, Osborne 60, Silver Lucas 43. For the third consecutive season, the Osborne Bulldogs are the Northern Plains League tournament champions on the boys' side.
So it is Thunder Ridge and Osborne winning the NPL tournament again, as Osborne boys knocking off Silver Lucas and Thunder Ridge knocking off Osborne for the championships. And the whole bracket of the NPL tournament is posted at ncksports.com. Also, the 50th annual Beloit Wrestling Invitational took place over the weekend. And here with a recap of the Beloit Wrestling Invitational and the NPL tournament is our sports director, Dusty Dinas.
The 50th annual Beloit Wrestling Invitational taking place this past weekend in Beloit, and 21 teams coming into town for the two-day event. Blue Valley Southwest, for the fourth consecutive year, wins the team championship with 261.5 points ahead of second-place Chanute with 197. Concordia finished in fifth place as a team. Beloit was eighth, Smith Center 10th. In the Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 immediate area, we had nine wrestlers that placed in the event. Trey Barrientos was our lone champion as he picked up an upset win over Creighton Johnson in the 285-pound semifinals, then ended up with a win over Ian Zimmerman of Republic County in the championship match at 285, finishing in first place with a record of 4-0 on the weekend. Trey is now 24-1 on the season. Also a second-place finish for Colton Shoemaker of Smith Center at 120 pounds. Third-place finishes for Beloit's Braden Burks at 195 and Creighton Johnson at 285, suffering his first loss of the season but came back nicely on the backside to finish in third. He's now 19-1 on the year for Beloit. Fourth-place finishes for Beloit's Tate Cadle at 145 pounds and also Hunter Prohaska at 152. Fifth-place finishes for Beloit 182, Brennan Walker and Cameron Conkle at 220 pounds, and Smith Center's Brel Spies finished in sixth place at 182 pounds. Full results from the Beloit Invitational can be found at ncksports.com. And also over the weekend, the Northern Plains League tournament came to a close as the Thunder Ridge Lady Longhorns, for the seventh consecutive season, are the NPL tournament champions, and the Osborne Bulldog boys, for the third consecutive season, won the title. The Thunder Ridge girls picking up a 71-44 win over Osborne in the championship game. They led 20-16 after one, but outscored Osborne 21-10 in the second quarter to start to create some separation. And they go on to win it 71-44. They're now 9-0 on the season. It was their 20th straight win over Osborne there in the championship game on Friday night. Of the boys' game, Osborne led 11-6 after one quarter, bit of a lower scoring game after one. It was 28-20 at halftime, and then Osborne created some separation in the third, outscoring Sylvan Lucas 18-9 to take a 17-point lead after three. They go on to win it by 17 to improve to 10-0 on the season. Again, the third consecutive Northern Plains League Tournament Championship for the Bulldogs. Sylvan Lucas dropping to 9-1, their first loss of the season there on Friday night. St. John's Tipton girls and boys both finished in third place at the Northern Plains League Tournament. St. John's Tipton girls beat Pike Valley, and the boys beat Lakeside. So Pike Valley girls and Lakeside boys finishing in fourth place. You can find full results and brackets from the Northern Plains League Tournament at ncksports.com.
And head coach Osborne Bulldog boys, Jamie Walters, talked with Dusty after winning the NPL tournament.
That was, you know, probably the best defensive team we've played this year, and did a good job of containing our drivers, and they were going to make a shoot from the outside, and I think we're better shooters than what we showed tonight, but you know, that's part of it. You're going to make some. I thought we did a better job the second half of rebounding our misses. You know, the first half we kind of stood around, and you know, we got open shots, but we just didn't take it for granted that we got good shooters and they're going in all the time. And second half we did a good job, Brandon. I can remember a couple times we're supposed to do that every time, all of us, but he ran the baseline there and got a couple pretty big rebounds there for us, and you know, it was a good win for us. We had to be a little more patient on offense, but we'll definitely take it. Proud of the kids. They fought hard.
So Osborne boys stay undefeated there, the NPL tournament champions for the third straight year. Thunder Ridge, congratulations to them winning the NPL tournament for the seventh consecutive year. So that's what took place, NPL tournament and the Bullet Wrestling Invitational. Congratulations to all that placed at the Wrestling Invitational and to those teams that fared there at the NPL tournament. And all that information is posted at ncksports.com. Also, the Bullet girls and boys basketball teams are out in Colby. I had coverage of that out in Colby at the Orange and Black Classic. And the Beloit boys, they finished 2-1, finished in third place. They won their first game, squeaked by Goodland, 41-38. Vinny Pollen with a bucket with 9 seconds to go gave Beloit a 40-38 lead. Beloit would go on to win 41-38 and survive the scare in the first round. Moved on to the semifinals, took on a very talented Hayes High Indian team, Class 5A school. Beloit down early, 12-2 and 24-8, but came back and made it interesting, but fell by 9, 51-42. So thus, the Beloit boys moved into the third place game on Saturday in Colby as they battled the Colby Eagles, a team that they'd seen twice on the gridiron in football this past year. And Beloit comes away with a very convincing win. 58-34 was the final. Bryce Mason, 18 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 block shots as Beloit cruises past Colby. So the Beloit boys go 2-1 at the tournament. They're now 8-2 overall and finish third at the Orange and Black Classic in Colby. It was a very good tournament for the Beloit Lady Trojans as well. They squeaked by in their first game. Just like the boys, they beat Valley Center 39-36, but played much better the next day against the third-ranked team in the state and undefeated Colby. Despite the loss, 52-37, they were up 15-11 at the end of one, led 18-14 in the second quarter before Colby got red-hot from three-point land. So it was a good effort by Beloit. So they move into the third-place game against a solid Goodland team, and the Beloit girls hit 15-19 free throws in the first half, 21-30 for the game, and hang on at the very end to knock off Goodland by a final score of 47-44. So the girls are now back to the 500 mark at 5-5, but go 2-1 in the Orange and Black Classic tournament there in Colby. Two good wins against the Valley Center team that's a Class 5A school, Goodland team, and battled the third-ranked team in the state in the semifinals, Colby, and it was a good 3 days, according to head coach Shauna Remus.
Our kids just did a phenomenal job just continuing to fight. Couldn't be prouder of them. I mean, this is a tough tournament, and come away with third place, I'm pretty proud of them. And the kids did pick it up a notch, and you know, we've got to learn how to not play to the competition's level. We should just try to put teams away right away and feel what that feels like. But no, I thought the kids did a great job, and every loose ball somebody was on the floor for, and it really helped us. And I thought Lorna was huge in there too today with her defense and getting tall and lanky for us. And it's just a great team win. I mean, Hewitt was huge again. And this doesn't show up in a lot of the stats, but Trista Bovey's defense was absolutely phenomenal because that number five can get hot in a hurry, and she just shut her down. And so, yeah, just another great team win.
Collective team effort for the Beloit Lady Trojans. Once again, the boys and girls of Beloit go third, take home third place from the 35th annual Orange and Black Classic in Colby. Colby did not send out, you know, one thing about Colby and Sterling, you know, I love going to Colby. Great tournament. And Sterling, the only thing I didn't really like about Sterling was going 4 days and traveling 4 days and five nights. So you go four out of 5 days for games back and forth. Whereas go to Colby, you just stay out there. At least we did. But Sterling does a much better job of having a dedicated website that provides all the box scores and who's winning three-point championships. There's contests. They update it there. Box scores, the email out, everything. In fact, I'm still getting all the emails. I got all the box scores from the Sterling Invitational this year for all the teams and everybody else, and I couldn't get all that for Colby. I got it the first night from Colby, and then the next thing I know, I didn't get it anymore. And I asked multiple times for all the box scores. Now, you would hope there, it'd be nice if the Orange and Black Classic had a dedicated website to where, as far as I know, when I searched, I couldn't find one. I asked somebody, nobody could tell me. That would be helpful so that we would have a little bit more information and so that we would know who was on the all-tournament teams fairly quickly at the end of broadcast and so forth and so on. So that's one thing Colby definitely needs to do a better job of. But otherwise did a great job of hosting the tournament. They'll have a brand new $16 million facility that the tournament we played in next January. So here's what I have. Shea Larson, Portia Cooper, and Vincent Paulin made all tournament team. And the only reason I have this is not from Colby, but from Beloit folks. So I thank them for sharing because I was wondering about it. Hudson Gray and Shea Larson made the all academic team in Colby. And then Shea Larson, Portia Cooper, and Vincent Paulin made the all tournament team. So congratulations to those folks there for Beloit, making it on the all-tournament team and the all-academic team. That is pretty doggone cool and well-deserved. Yeah, and I got another text from another parent saying Colby's a little bit behind the times. It would be nice if they had a social media account to update things. Yes, I would agree. That's one thing they really need to improve upon. Otherwise, really, really good. So it was a good week for a lot of teams in our area and individuals in wrestling as well. All right. Before we get to Kobe Bryant and talk about all that, KU ended a wild week. As you know, Sylvia DeSosa suspended 12 games, David McCormick 2, after the KU K-State fracas at the end of their game last Tuesday. So KU turns around. ESPN Game Day was in Lawrence and the Jayhawks in the Big 12 SEC Challenge against the Tennessee Volunteers.
Dotson, little stop and go, right to the rim. He takes it, and he lays it up and through. Devon Dotson like a blur, and KU goes up 8.
Jayhawks win 74-68, and they didn't have any bigs other than Udoka Azubuike, and he got in foul trouble. Second foul with 10 minutes to go first half. KU had to go to a five-guard lineup and then got outscored by Tennessee during that stretch, but Udoka came back, and he had 18 points, 11 rebounds. And they went to hack-a-doke strategy, did Tennessee. Up 66-63, KU had the ball. Udoka was fouled on purpose. He goes to the line and made both, and the crowd erupted in cheers for Udoka making those free throws. That will stop people from doing the hack-a-shack or hack-a-doke strategy. And Bill Self, it's a little bit different without Doke on the floor, but happy with the win.
Overall, I mean, it's very obvious. We're not the same team with him not in the game. We need him in the game. And we, you know, I thought we could play Tristan at the five, and that didn't work out. So we were just out there. That lineup that played without him for 8-12 minutes or whatever, we never been on the court together at the same time. So we did enough good things to win, but certainly it wasn't the prettiest. And I'm not leaving out here elated in any other way other than that we just won the game.
KU is now 17-3 overall. They're 6-1 in conference play. They will take on Oklahoma State tonight in Stillwater, which seems to always be a pretty tough game for KU, no matter how good they are and how bad Oklahoma State is. That's at 7:30 tonight pregame on Z96.3 Lake, as KU is still just a game behind Baylor in the Big 12 standings. Baylor with a big win at Florida, 72-61. Baylor number one in the country. And we look at the Big 12 race. The Big 12 and the SEC had their challenge over the weekend, and it ended up in a tie, if I did the math right here. Auburn beat Iowa State by 4. It's a good game for Iowa State. That was at Auburn. Auburn's ranked in the top 20, and Iowa State's been struggling. Auburn won 80-76. West Virginia throttled Missouri 74-51. LSU edged Texas 69-67. Oklahoma squeaked by Mississippi State 63-62. Oklahoma State wins at A&M 73-62. We mentioned KU's win over Tennessee, 74-68. Arkansas beat TCU, 78-67. Kentucky, in a great game, wins at Lubbock against Texas Tech, 76-74 in overtime. The atmosphere of that game was off the charts. And Alabama knocked off K-State, 77-74. And speaking of the Wildcats, the Cats made a charge, but just couldn't quite get there. They were down by 16 points with just over 12 minutes to play, but kept battling close to within one possession on multiple occasions, including 69-67 with 2:48 to go. But Alabama hit some free throws enough down the stretch to win. Xavier Sneed kind of sparked the team with a three-pointer during an 18-3 run. And Jada led the Wildcats with 17 points his first game off the bench. He did not start. Deshaun Gordon started instead of Cartier Jada, but it seemed to, I don't know if it gave him a spark because they were down 16 in the second half. McCallum Ween, 13 points, 12 rebounds. If he's coming around, that would be great for Kansas State. And Xavier Sneed had 14, and freshman Montavious Murphy added 10 as K-State falls 77-74 in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Bruce Weber on his team and the loss in Tuscaloosa.
When we execute and ran our stuff, I thought we were very, very good. When, we went freelance and took tough shots, that's when we struggle. And, we played hard. We rebounded. I thought for the most part we guarded well, except for the fouls. That was obviously the first half that really put us in a bind.
Wildcats fall to Alabama 77-74. Wichita State gets a win. They knock off Central Florida. Shockers now 17-3 on the year, 5-2 in the American Athletic Conference as they win 87-79. Dexter Dennis, 16 of his 8 points in the second half to lead the Shockers to the victory. And Greg Marshall, pleased with how Dennis was able to finish at the end.
The take at the end, just loved the way he responded. I challenged him a little bit at halftime because he was missing some bunnies in the first half. And, man, he's getting in there now. But he's not used to it. And because of that, he gets small as opposed to being explosive at the end. And he's worried about contact or whatever instead of worrying about sticking the basketball either in the rim, through the hoop, or on the glass. And he did it, man. 4 seconds to go, and the game was in the balance. He ripped it by Milan, and he threw it down, and there was nobody in the building that could contest that one.
Shockers win the ball game. Their next game at Tulsa, and Tulsa leads the American Athletic Conference with a 6-1 record, and Wichita State on their heels at 5-2. That's a big game in Tulsa. That'll be coming up on Saturday for the Shockers at 5 o'clock. You can watch that on ESPNU. Hey, the Super Bowl is now just a week away. Yay! 6 days from now, coming up on Sunday in Miami. It seems like it's been weeks since the Chiefs won the AFC Championship game. Okay, last week was a long week for all of us here at the radio station covering all the basketball and wrestling, but it is finally going to be here, and wow. I think a lot of Chiefs fans can't wait for it to happen. Hopefully the Chiefs can get it done. We plan on having the Super Bowl on the radio on Z96.3 Lake with the Westwood One national broadcast. We're not allowed to carry the Chiefs network, which is a bummer, and I don't like it, but it is the NFL rules, and so we have to follow those. The Chiefs and the 49ers. We'll talk a lot more about that matchup. The Chiefs arrived in Miami yesterday, and the players were wearing the festive shirts you wear on the beach that Andy Reid wore at the Pro Bowl in the past years, and it was pretty funny. So the Chiefs getting ready for the 49ers, Super Bowl 54 coming up, and that'll start about 5:30, 5:40, I think, kickoff coming up on Sunday there from Miami. We'll talk a lot more about Super Bowl 54 and the Chiefs and the Niners matchup. We'll break it down. We'll hear from both sides as we get closer to Super Bowl 54 coming up this Sunday. All right. We dedicate and reserve the rest of the time to talk about one of the greatest players in NBA history that passed away at way too young of an age. By now, you probably know, unless you live underneath a rock, that Kobe Bryant, Laker legend, NBA legend, passed away in a helicopter crash yesterday at the age of 41. So many different routes we can go to talk about his impact, but it's probably best to start with a guy that has known Kobe for a very long time, and also an NBA great, Magic Johnson, who, you know, you think back when Magic Johnson announced that he had the HIV virus back in, I think that was 1991. You know, a lot of people thought Magic was going to die soon. And here he is, still kicking. And Magic outlives Kobe. Who would have thought that? Magic talking about how he thought Kobe was invincible and in shock at the passing of Kobe Bryant.
Like, I thought he was going to live forever. I thought he was invincible. I thought he was, you know, he played like that. He walked like that. He was just a confident young man. And when Jerry West drafted him, I remember him telling us when he went one-on-one against Michael Cooper that Kobe was the next greatest player to play in the league.
And he would have been right. He had bravado. He was a very confident young man at the age of 17. Youngest player to ever appear in an NBA game. I don't know if a lot of people know that. And Magic said there was more for Kobe to do.
This is not a good day for the city of Los Angeles, and because we needed Kobe to still be around. And our kids who idolized him and the fan base who idolized him. And it was more for him to do. You know, he died way too early.
No question about it. You know, I've been following Kobe on social media. I follow him with some of his tweets and some of the things he said recently and really hit home with me, talking about the overabundance of traveling basketball and kids getting worn out and their bodies breaking down by the time they get college or maybe make it to the pros. He voices concern about that. He's one where it was more about practice and fundamentals. Yeah, I play games, but not worried about winning or losing games as much as letting kids figure some things out and get the bigger picture, which he understood. And he was en route to a traveling basketball game, for what we understand, with his 13-year-old daughter, who was a very talented young lady herself. And she perished on the plane along with seven other people. So Kobe, 13-year-old daughter, and seven others, a total of nine. And all those identities have now been revealed publicly here today. Shame on the media for coming out with reports that were not accurate about different people that were on that plane. It's irresponsible, and the fact that you're in a hurry to be the first one to break something is really, really repugnant when it comes to somebody that's passing away like that. And shame on them for doing that and having all that misinformation. It's just it's embarrassment on media. So that's a side note. But back to Kobe, is Kobe passing away at the age of 41. You know, lots of things, and I said this at the beginning of Waterside Wake Up this morning, but in case you missed it, is that when something of this magnitude happens, years from now, you're gonna be talking and you'll be saying, where were you? Do you remember? Or, yeah, I remember when Kobe Bryant, I got the news that he passed away in a helicopter crash. You know, I think about during my lifetime, I'm 44 years of age. I was not alive when JFK was assassinated or Martin Luther King was assassinated. I was not alive, so I can't refer to those things. I can just speak about the 44 years on Earth that I've been blessed to have. And for me, I think of a few. I think of Princess Diana, I think it was 1997, because I was in college there in Pittsburgh State, and I remember exactly where I was when I got word of Princess Di being killed in that car accident. And that was a huge story, not only in the United States, but across the world. I heard some people mention Michael Jackson when he passed away. That was a huge story, no doubt. Although I think some people probably could have maybe seen that things were going the wrong way with Michael Jackson. It might not end well. Whereas Princess Diana, you didn't see that one coming at all. But still, it was still a shock to the system, and it was a big, big deal across the world. You know, Prince, he too, passing away was a huge deal. An icon, an entertainer, a celebrity that the whole world knew. And but for me, I have never, and I don't know, I can't think of one off the top of my head where we've lost somebody that has been this great at a sport that has passed away so early at the age of 41. I mean, Muhammad Ali passed away a few years back, but he got to live a long life for the most part, okay? And we knew that he wasn't in good health. But this, it just comes as a complete stunner, and it's a shock to the system. If you are a sports fan, if you're a Laker fan, if you're Kobe Bryant fan, if you're just a fan in general of sports, or you're a fan of what Kobe did off the court since he retired, and some of you may know that he won an Academy Award for a crazy man. How talented was this guy? Won an Academy Award for writing children's books and had a little short film that was fantastic about his love for basketball and how he gave everything
to the game, and it's like it was a love story, is what it was. And I've watched it; it's awesome. And I remember when I saw it when he was up for a nominee as a nominee for Academy Award. I'm like, wow, that's good. I don't know if he's going to win it, but he did. And he wrote children's books. He was doing so many good things in his life. And recently I saw a clip of him with his 13-year-old daughter courtside, and he was explaining things at a game, and she was nodding. She was actively listening, respecting him, and had a big smile on her face. And I just saw that a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, that's cool. I just remember thinking, that's so awesome. That's so cool. And now he's gone. And on top of it all, I think the thing that makes this even worse is that his 13-year-old daughter is gone. Like, Kobe, he got to accomplish a lot of things in life, in his short life on earth, but his 13-year-old daughter is gone, and she had a lot of big things ahead of her, and that's tough. That's tough. I mean, I think that's what makes it even sadder. It's certainly sad that Kobe passed away and eight others, but that his 13-year-old daughter was with him on the helicopter is just so unfortunate. So Kobe Bryant, I never met Kobe Bryant, and when I was preparing for the show today, trying to think of what to say, I was like, you know what, I can write down notes, or I can speak from the heart just as a fan, a sports fan. I never met Kobe Bryant. I can't tell you how great of a person he was. I never met him, but all I know is I can go off of what all these other people have said, and I heard some of this stuff before Kobe passed, so this is not a whole bunch of people, I think, saying it just because he's passed away, because sometimes I think that happens in life. You all of a sudden you talk about all the great things and you ignore some of the other stuff that happened. Kobe was not a perfect person. He had his issue in Colorado, as you're probably aware of, so forth and so on, but he put his life back together. And just, I can't even tell you and can't even explain his impact in Los Angeles at all, because I've never been to Los Angeles, so I won't even waste time trying to explain it, because other people have explained it very well. But the one thing that stood out to me as I was trying to think and of what to say today on something that is something you're not prepared for, because I mentioned Prince, and I mentioned Michael Jackson, Princess Diana. They were all people known across the globe, not just in a country, across the globe. They were global people. Kobe Bryant was a global icon. People in China and Japan and Australia and everywhere, they know who Kobe Bryant is, and they're all shocked today. Because Kobe was in Beijing and helped the U.S. win Olympic gold in 2008, won Olympic gold in 2012. Kobe was a superstar. On one of the most well-known franchises ever in basketball history, the Los Angeles Lakers. And while I did not cheer for the Lakers to beat the Celtics when they played each other, or I was cheering usually against the Lakers, and I think that was because I just was tired of the Lakers always winning, although you can argue the Celtics won a lot too. I get that. But I was a Paul Pierce guy. I like Paul Pierce. I like Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, so I kind of was cheering for the Celtics to beat the Lakers. But I always respected Kobe. Always did. Did he shoot the ball a lot? Yeah, he did. He did. But he changed his game the second level of his career. And his first level of his career, of course, was with Shaq and winning three straight titles. But the second stage of his career, in my opinion, was when he had Pau Gasol joined him, and then they won back-to-back NBA titles after they lost to the Boston Celtics in 2008 to Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett. I have more thoughts on Kobe that you may share with me. But the one thing that I wrote down, and that's all I got on the sheet of paper before I came into work today, before I went to bed last night, I wrote, I wish I met Kobe. And I truly mean that. I wish I met Kobe Bryant, because I think Kobe Bryant would have made me a better person. I think Kobe Bryant would have made me, if I was young, if he came around and I met him when I was 14 or 15, he probably would have made me a better player. I don't think there's any doubt about it. One thing that stood out to me that somebody said on TV yesterday was that with Kobe Bryant, there was no limitations. It was, if you want it, you go get it. And if he met people that would make excuses or would say they had limitations, he would snap them out of it and say, uh-uh, no, 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 no. There are no limitations to what you can do. If you want it, you got to go for it. You got to work your butt off to get it. And Kobe Bryant worked his butt off to get where he was. A very unusual kid in regards to the standpoint. At the age of 17, he had this bravado that I'm going to be better than Michael Jordan. He came in the league and he's like, I'm going to be better than Michael Jordan. Now, who has the audacity to say that? Michael Jordan was in his prime. The Bulls had won three titles and then were in starting another three-peat when Kobe Bryant came in the league. He was drafted at the age of 17, straight from high school into college. So many people touched
by Kobe and everything that he meant to so many people. We'll get to some of the things that were done yesterday during NBA games, which there's questions whether NBA games would go on. They did. I heard some people say that they should have canceled NBA games. I think that would have been a logistic nightmare for, you know, a whole bunch of fans that were paid tickets to be there. I mean, they would have worked it out. They did play the games. I don't think it was the same because all the players are playing with heavy hearts. You have to keep in mind that most of the players in the NBA right now grew up idolizing Kobe. Michael was a little bit further back in my generation. When I was young, I idolized Jordan. When I wanted to play basketball, I imitated Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan. Those are the guys I imitated. Okay. Had I been born 10 years later, it would have been Kobe. There's no question about it. So a lot of players are impacted by Kobe Bryant, and we'll get to one local athlete that was impacted by Kobe Bryant here in just a moment. But yesterday there were 8 and 24-second violations to start their games. If you don't know, you have 8 seconds to get it into the front court. If not, it's 8-second backcourt violation. Kobe Bryant wore number 8 with the Lakers. Then he changed to number 24, and they had 24-second violations that the teams took to start games yesterday. It was quite a way to honor Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant has not one, but 2 jerseys hanging in the rafters at Staples Center in L.A. He has 2 jerseys retired as a Laker, number 8, number 24. Nobody else has that. Madison Square Garden, moment of silence that they did. They changed the colors outside the garden to purple and gold instead of the blue and the orange that they have for their team colors. And they did that inside up on their Jumbotron, and it was really cool. Trae Young. Got to know Kobe during this past offseason. Why? Because Kobe Bryant's 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, Gianna, Trae Young was her favorite player. So Kobe reached out to talk to Trae Young and worked with him during the offseason. Trae Young was really hit hard emotionally. He plays for the Atlanta Hawks. He wore number 8 yesterday to start the game against the Wizards. And then guess what Trae Young did? And you can't script this stuff. Trae Young went out against the Washington Wizards yesterday and became the first NBA player to have a 45-point double-double with under 25 field goal attempts. So he didn't have to take tons of shots to get his 45 points. Had a double-double. I think he had 14 assists. And guess who was the last player to make that feat? Who do you think was the last player to have a 45-point double-double with under 25 field goal attempts? Yep, Kobe Bryant. December 17th, 2006. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Lots of players, tears in their eyes, are actually crying on the court or on the sideline. Coaches as well. Fans in the stands, I'm so moved. It gave you goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps just talking about it right now. It shows you how much he was appreciated and loved, not only by the Lakers, but across the whole NBA, but also how well-respected he was, too. And so many things that were said by many people, and we don't have enough time to play all the reactions, but there's a few that I pulled out. Of course, Magic Johnson's I just played. Greg Popovich was a coach for Kobe Bryant on the U.S. Olympic teams that won gold medals in 2008 and 2012. Of course, he competed against Kobe and lost games to Kobe and lost in the playoffs to Kobe, and they beat Kobe at times, too. The Spurs, of course, a great, you could say, a dynasty. They won lots of championships, too. And here's Greg Popovich on the passing of Kobe Bryant.
Everybody's pretty emotional about the tragedy with Kobe, and all of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him, as a player, so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win. And even more importantly than that, we all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons. It's just a tragic thing that there are no words that can describe how everybody feels about it. So we all think about the family and the process that they're going to be going through now. That's where all our thoughts should be.
Yeah, well said by Greg Popovich. Somebody texted me, Derek Thomas. He was killed in a car accident with the Chiefs almost to the day 20 years ago, January 25th of 2000. And that's one I hadn't thought of. That was a good one. I'm glad that Spencer sent that to me.
You know, this one is different, though, and here's why. I mean, for the Chiefs fans, no question, Derek Thomas was a horrible loss and taken too young as well. Some of the differences there would be that, first of all, a lot of people that know Derek Thomas know Derek Thomas lived a pretty crazy life. And I won't get in particulars. If people want to talk about with me on the side, that's fine. So, you know, I think a lot of people thought he might not live a long life because of the way he lived, but they didn't expect him to die in a car accident, obviously, which he didn't technically. It was from injuries, and then eventually he did later on. He lasted a lot longer after that car accident. People actually realize hanging and clinging to life. And that was a horrible loss for Chiefs in the NFL, no question. Derek Thomas wasn't the global icon that Kobe Bryant is, or the Prince, or Michael Jackson, or Princess Diana. But I'm glad that Spencer shared that because, you know, different organizations have had losses. We had the Angels baseball team last year lost a loved one in their hotel room on a road trip. So we don't want to sit here and say this one's more important than another because this person was a celebrity across the world doesn't mean they're more important. You know, Kobe Bryant, is he more important than Derek Thomas? Is Derek Thomas more important than your grandpa who passed away? No, and there's no need to rate it per se. The reason I compare the two a little bit is that why this one is different is it is one of the greatest to ever played, and Derek Thomas, one of the greatest pass rushers to ever played too, but one of the greatest to play, but then the global impact that Kobe had on the game and one of the best players that ever lived is just, it's hard to believe that somebody like this would pass away at such an early age and in such an unexpected manner. You know, like if Kobe was a guy that, you know, you found out that his health was declining, or he was a guy that was doing drugs and this and that and getting in trouble with the law, you could probably see it coming, right? But you didn't see something like this obviously coming because Kobe had everything put together. The guy's one of the smartest dudes maybe on the planet. Guy could speak all kinds of languages fluently, Italian, Spanish, English, obviously. Joked he could learn German very quickly if he wanted to. He was an avid reader. He wrote children's books after his career. He was a guy who was ready for his post-career life, which most athletes are not. I mean, you think about Michael Jordan. He retired multiple times, came back. Brett Favre had to come back multiple times. We see boxers come back all the time. You know, Kobe understood, even before his career was over, there's more to life than basketball. And man, he lived that, but not as long as you would have liked. And it's unfortunate, no doubt. So let's set this up. On Saturday night, this is what makes it even more bittersweet. Saturday night, LeBron James, who now plays for the Lakers, who idolized Kobe, and you'll hear that in a moment. I'm going to play the full four-minute cut because I think you want to hear it. I don't want to clip it, and you can. I just want you to hear the whole thing in its entirety. And it almost, if you listen to it, you almost feel like he's talking about Kobe as if he had almost passed. Well, he hadn't yet. Saturday night, Kobe Bryant and the Lakers, or excuse me, LeBron James and the Lakers, they were in Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. Kobe Bryant's from Philadelphia. His dad played NBA basketball for the 76ers against the Lakers and everybody else in the NBA. Kobe Bryant, if I remember correctly, he won an All-Star Game MVP in Philadelphia. And so on Saturday night, LeBron James passed Kobe Bryant for third on the all-time scoring list in NBA history, which is quite the accomplishment. And Kobe put out a tweet right away, "Way to go, my brother, keeping the NBA moving forward," on Twitter. And that was his last tweet, according to his account, before he passed away yesterday, congratulating LeBron right away. Now, there's some guys that are so egotistical that they're not going to congratulate somebody, or they don't like people breaking their records or passing them on these all-time lists. That wasn't Kobe. And on top of that, some people, you know, Kobe could have been upset that LeBron's joined the Lakers from the standpoint of, okay, now he's going to, you know, he's the focal point, and even though I've retired, I did all this stuff for the Lakers. And that's not, we don't hear that's what Kobe did at all. In fact, he embraced LeBron becoming a Laker and wanted the Lakers to do well with LeBron. And so after the game on Saturday night, this is before Kobe Bryant passed away, LeBron James, and you don't get this very often. What happens in sports is you have these, you interview players in the locker room. I've been there. I've done that with the Royals for a couple of years when I was younger. And you go to the locker room and you ask a question, and the player will give you probably, if you're lucky, 10, 15, 20 seconds maybe, an answer. Then you'll ask another question, somebody else, they'll give you a short answer, and you'll go through about 10 questions, and then that'll be that.
and you'll spend maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes in front of the player. And you move on and interview the next person. And LeBron's pretty much that way. He'll answer your questions for the most part, but he and sometimes he'll go on a little bit. Sometimes he has shorter answers depending on his mood. But LeBron was asked about Kobe on Saturday night after the Lakers played the Sixers, and LeBron passed Kobe for third on all-time scoring list. And here's what LeBron had to say. And once again, I want to repeat, this happened before Kobe Bryant passed away the very next day, which makes this all the eerier. But here is LeBron talking about the impact that Kobe had on his career. Many people believe that LeBron is the greatest of all time, better than even Jordan. But who did he grow up idolizing? Well, LeBron wore 23 because he idolized Jordan. But another guy that was big, had a big impact on his career, listen closely, LeBron talks about Kobe Bryant's impact.
When I was a kid, I was in high school. I was growing up through the ranks when Kobe came into the league. He was, you know, it wasn't a dream of mine to come straight, you know, from high school at that point in time to the NBA. But I was like, wow, a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid being able to make that leap, that's pretty damn cool. And as I started playing more ball and I went into high school, the things that he was doing on the floor, I, you know, admired and wanted to be a part of. I went to ABCD camp, and he came and talked to all the kids that was there, and I happened to be one of the kids that was there, and I was just listening. I was just trying to soak everything up I could, you know. And I remember one thing that he said. He was like, if you want to try to be, you know, great at it, or want to be one of the greats, you got to put the work in. You know, there's no substitution to work. And I was a 15-year-old kid at that camp. You can actually find the footage of him at that camp. And in 2001, I believe I was playing in New Jersey, and the All-Star game, if I'm not mistaken, and y'all can correct me, was in Philly, right? Yeah, that Saturday, me and Maverick drove to the Intercontinental downtown Philadelphia, and he gave me a pair of his shoes, which I ended up wearing that following night. It was the red, white, and blue Kobe's. I was a 15, and he was a 14, and I wore them anyways. And I sat and just talked to him for a little bit. He gave me the shoes. I rocked them in the game. And it was the same night that we played Oak Hill against Melo. And then I saw what he was able to do the very next night, winning MVP here in Philly that following night. As I got drafted, I still just admired him, you know, seeing what he was able to accomplish, winning championships, having, you know, being early in his career where, you know, he learned from the misses that he had against the series against Utah, and he just used that as motivation and got better and better and better to him winning multiple championships. And continued to admire him throughout my high school rank. And then as competitors, just seeing the work ethic that he put into the game. He had zero flaws offensively, zero. You backed off of him, he could shoot the three. You pick, you know, you body him up a little bit, he can go around you. He can shoot the mid-range, he can post, he can make free throws. He had zero flaws offensively. And, you know, that's something that I admired as well, just being at a point where the defense will always be at bay, where they couldn't guard you at all offensively, where you just felt like you was just immortal offensively because of your skill set and your work ethic. We take it down to 2008, where we become the redeem team. And it was a dream come true for me to be able to line up alongside of him, just admiring him for so many years and him seeing him from afar and then being able to be in practices with him and you know, me watching and learning. So on. I mean, it's just too much. It's just too much. The story is just too much. It doesn't make sense. And just to make a long story short, now I'm here in the Lakers uniform in Philadelphia, where he's from, where I wanted the first time I ever met him, gave me his shoes, he won All-Star Week. It's surreal. It doesn't make no sense, but the universe just puts things in your life, and when you, I guess when you live in the right way, or you just giving everything to whatever you're doing, things happen organically, and it's not supposed to make sense, but it just happens. I'm happy to be in any conversation with Kobe Bean Bryant, one of the all-time greatest basketball players to ever play, one of the all-time greatest Lakers. The man got two jerseys hanging up in Staples Center. It's just crazy.
That was LeBron James. If you heard that and did not know, you would think he might have been talking about Kobe after he passed away. That was Saturday night after LeBron passed Kobe on all-time scoring list to be third, and Kobe became fourth on that list. And the last tweet that Kobe sent out was congratulating LeBron James on doing that. And that was a question about Kobe to LeBron, and LeBron went for 4 minutes without stopping for another question and just went. And that tells you how much LeBron, honestly to me, it tells me how much he appreciated and loved the man and what he did for his career. And that could very well be the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron, talking about another great of all time, Kobe Bryant. Just to give you an idea how good Kobe was, some people may forget how good he was. 5-time NBA champion, also went to the NBA Finals 2 other times, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, NBA Most Valuable Player in 2008, an 18-time NBA All-Star and the youngest player to ever be an All-Star at the age of 18. He was the 4-time NBA All-Star Game MVP. He was a first-team All-NBA selection 11 times. Here's another thing people forget about Kobe Bryant. So many people focus on how many shots he took and the points he scored. He was a 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team. He was a complete player. 2-time NBA scoring champion, NBA slam dunk contest winner when he beat K-State women's assistant coach Chris Carr in the finals in 1997. Numbers 8 and 24 retired by the Lakers. Did not play college basketball, went straight from high school to the NBA, and drafted at the age of 17. Youngest player to ever play an NBA game. He survived by 3 daughters and his wife. Unfortunately, his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi Gianna, was with him on the helicopter crash that took place yesterday. A few things to pass along to you in regards to Kobe. Here's interesting audio that I found. This is Kobe Bryant talking about, he hosted a lot of camps to help players get better. He had camps. A lot of players have these basketball camps. And so Kobe was asked what would his message be to campers.
Have a good time. Enjoy life. It's life is too short to get bogged down and be discouraged, or you have to keep moving. You have to keep going. Put one foot in front of the other, smile, and just keep on rolling. You know, and that's what really this camp is about.
All right, so why is this such a big deal, Kobe Bryant passing away? For some of you that aren't big sports fans that are listening right now, you may be saying, all right, you know, why we spend so much time on a basketball player? Well, one, then you don't realize how big of a deal Kobe Bryant was. And I'll be quite honest with you, I knew he was a big deal, but I don't think I realized the impact Kobe Bryant had until this weekend. Austin Butke. If you know Austin Butke, Austin played at Beloit High School. Very good player. All-State, I believe, his last year. He was a walk-on at Kansas State. He went to Hutch Community College, and then he went to K-State, was a walk-on, got to play for Bruce Weber. Here's what Austin Butke put on Twitter. I thought this was really good. Now, you got to remember, Austin, I'm trying to think how old Austin is now. But obviously, Kobe was a big deal when he was in ninth grade in high school. And here's what he said. Austin Butke. Basketball was never my favorite growing up. Then in ninth grade, I heard the song Kobe Bryant by Lil Wayne and found a Kobe highlight tape that I would watch before every high school game. I can only hope he understood the impact he had on kids like myself during our most impressionable years. He also, Austin, collected Kobe shoes. He said Kobe had the best hooping shoes of all time. He has a picture, and he says, this is just a small fraction I've held on to throughout my career. I always knew I was never going to be as good as Kobe, but doggone, I was going to try. A lot of young people are affected by Kobe in that way, and Kobe doesn't even know maybe how much he impacted people that he never met. I'm sure Austin would have loved to have met Kobe Bryant. I know I would have loved to have met Kobe Bryant. So that is just a quick example of a person that's in their, you know, early 20s right now. And that's a lot of NBA players grew up idolizing Kobe and probably had the same type of thing to say like Austin Butke did. And I thank Austin for tweeting that out. I wanted to share it. Other reaction. Bill Plaschke is a very talented and award-winning journalist in L.A. for the L.A. Times. And I just want to read a little bit of what he had to say, because you got, this is the L.A. perspective. I mean, those that are in L.A. are really hurting today, more so maybe than other people across the country, with Kobe Bryant passing away. And here's what Bill Plasky wrote. Kobe Bryant is gone. I'm screaming right now, cursing into the sky, crying into my keyboard, and I don't care who knows about it. Kobe Bryant is gone. And those are the hardest words I've ever had to write for this newspaper, and I still don't believe them as I'm writing them. I'm still crying, and go ahead, let it out. Don't be embarrassed. Cry with me. Weep and wail and shout into the streets. Fill a suddenly empty Los Angeles with your pain. Kobe does not die. Not now. Kobe lives into his golden years, lives long enough to see his statues erected outside Staples Center and his jerseys inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He lives long enough to sit courtside at Staples when he's stooped and gray, keeping alive the memories of two decades of greatness with a wink, maybe even fooling everyone one last time by retiring in a community next to Shaquille O'Neal. How can Mamba be dead? Mambas don't die. Why this? Why now? Why him? Why them? Kobe and Gianna leave behind an incredibly strong wife and mother and three daughters. The horror of this is unspeakable. The tragedy of this is immeasurable. Go ahead. Keep crying. You won't be alone. A huge hole has been cut out of Los Angeles' heart, and the wound is breathtaking. Kobe was your childhood hero. Here in L.A., he was your adult icon. For 20 years, he was on posters in your bedroom, on the TV in your living room, in the lunch talk in your cafeteria in school, in the smack talk at your office water cooler, and ultimately, riding on a truck down Figueroa Street while you cheered and bragged and bathed in his greatness. You watched him grow up, and this city's relentless approach to sports grew with him, and soon, even with all of his off-court failings, many people felt they carried a little piece of him with them. On your best days, the days you landed a big account or aced a big test or just survived a battle with traffic, you felt like Kobe. You were Kobe. In the end, as he retired into a life of movies and books and coaching Gianna's basketball team, he was us. For me, he was not only dominated by professional life, he consumed it. He arrived in L.A. 2 months before I began writing this column. We used to joke that we started our journeys together, but then he would pat me on the back and shake his head at that notion because, well, he always followed his own path. He was the one Laker who never had an entourage with him, and many nights after games we would chat as I would walk with him to his car, except when he would get mad at me for what he considered unfair criticism, and then we wouldn't talk for weeks because when he was playing, he was that rare fighter who never dropped his fist. I covered his first game. I covered his last game. I wrote about everything in between. I screamed from press row that night, just as I'm screaming now at his final game when he scored 60 against the Utah Jazz. I'm still shaking. I'm still not believing. I just spoke with Kobe Bryant last week. I emailed Kobe with a request to speak to him about being passed on the all-time scoring list by LeBron James, and guess what? Kobe immediately emailed me back. He always did that. He cleared his calendar and made time to chat on the phone because, as he always said, you've been there for everything with me. But then in our 20-minute conversation, he showed a side of Kobe that I had not seen before. The edge was gone. The arms were open. He urged acceptance of LeBron. He preached calm for Laker fans. He said greatness wasn't worth anything if you couldn't share it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a strong statement right there. After about 5 minutes, the message of the call was clear. The steely-eyed Mamba was purposely moving into a role of a wise, embracing, and grateful leader of a community that had shown him so much patience and love. It's crazy watching the city and growing with it, he said before hanging up. I feel such an appreciation. I can never pay the city of L.A. back for what it's given me. And now Kobe Bryant is gone. That was from Bill Plasky of the L.A. Times. I thought that was pretty powerful stuff. I thought that was something that you might want to hear. I'll just give you, we're going to hear another snippet from Kobe Bryant. It's about a minute and a half long about how he wanted to be remembered as he spoke to ESPN back in December 2015. And this will probably give you goosebumps as well. My memories of Kobe Bryant, I remember I was in college and I remember Kobe was that brash 17-year-old and he played his first game ever against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I remember wanting Jordan to just stick it to Kobe. I remember that because Jordan was my idol growing up in regards to basketball. Basketball has always been my favorite sport. It was growing up, and I imitated Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, because those are the guys I grew up with. And so when Kobe came in the league and he was playing against Michael Jordan, he said, I'm going to be better than Jordan. As a Michael Jordan fan, I took that defensively. It's like, come on, man, you're not going to be anything close to Michael Jordan. And I remember watching Kobe Bryant play against Michael Jordan. First time Kobe ever played against Jordan was December 7, 1996. I looked it up today, but I remembered the game and I remember the year. I just didn't know the date.
And in that game where the Bulls and the Lakers played, a game the Bulls won, 129 to 123 in overtime, Michael Jordan scored 30 points. Kobe Bryant, at the age of 17, maybe 18 at that time, Kobe Bryant scored a whopping 5 points. He played a whopping 10 minutes. But I remember Kobe Bryant guarding Michael Jordan. And I remember watching Jordan score on Kobe Bryant. And I remember watching Kobe Bryant not back down. And I remember that moment while I was watching Kobe Bryant against Michael Jordan, and I thought to myself, and I do remember this thought, that, man, he could be really good. That's pretty, he's got some big, you know what, to just stick up and stand up to Jordan at the age of 17, 18 in a pro game coming out of high school. I was impressed. And I had a feeling Kobe was going to be really good. To be what he became, well, no, I didn't forecast that. Maybe other people did. Kobe was part of a three-peat. Michael Jordan won 2 3-peats with the Bulls. He had a three-peat with Shaquille O'Neal. Some other memories. How can you not remember Kobe Bryant scored 81, the second most points ever scored in a game in NBA history? The other one is Wilt Chamberlain with 100. Kobe scored 81 against the Raptors. Another memory I have that I haven't heard anybody else really mention was the NBA Finals in 2008 when the Lakers lost to the Celtics. And yes, I was cheering for the Celtics. It was so weird. When the series was over and the Lakers got pounded in Game 7 in Boston, and Kobe was gracious in defeat, but you could see on his face he was ticked off. You know why? Because he knew it was hard to win a championship. But I remember thinking, the Celtics, it's a good thing they beat the Lakers this year, because I got a feeling the Lakers are going to be back, and probably back the next year. And what do you know? The next 2 years, the Lakers won the NBA championship. And that was because Kobe Bryant pushed his team. That they took that sting of a loss in 2008 in NBA Finals, and they turned around and won it against the Magic in 2009, then got a rematch against the Celtics in 2010 against Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and the Celtics. And once again, I was cheering for the Celtics. The Celtics had a double-digit lead in Staples Center against the Lakers and Kobe Bryant in Game 7. Looked like the Celtics going to win it again, and guess what? Kobe Bryant happened. Kobe Bryant would not let his team lose. It wasn't going to happen again. The Lakers were not going to lose the Celtics twice in 3 years NBA Finals. You know why? Because Kobe Bryant wouldn't let it happen. You know, it's so funny. Teams I cheered for against the Lakers, I didn't like Kobe from the standpoint of I didn't want him to win the game. But yet, I loved how he played the game. And yes, sometimes I thought he forced some shots. But here's the great thing. He reinvented himself and became a leader the second time around when they had their back-to-back titles, when he had Pau Gasol and others. The other thing I remember about Kobe, he had a 60-point regular season finale against the Jazz, final game ever in the NBA, scored 60. Who does that? I mean, not even Jordan did that. Your last ever game and you score 60? People got to be sitting there going, why didn't he play more? He scored 60. He's got more in his tank. But Kobe knew that he was done. His body was breaking down. He couldn't take it. But here's the ultimate compliment, I think, to Kobe Bryant, or at least one of the ultimate compliments to Kobe Bryant, is that when I watch Kobe Bryant play, and I watch Michael Jordan play, and there's this great video, somebody did this editing, where Kobe's game is modeled after Jordan. The moves are the same. The results are the same. Jordan won 6 titles. Kobe won 5. All right? Kobe's actually a lot closer to Jordan in regards to the championship side of it. When people argue who's the greatest of all time, LeBron or Michael, some people say Kobe should be thrown in there. And to each their own. He certainly should be in a conversation as one of the greatest of all time. And then you can argue all you want later on about that. And who, to me, I don't really care for sure who the greatest of all time is, because I have my opinion, you have yours, and you're not right, and I'm not right, and you're not wrong, and I'm not wrong. But I will tell you, Kobe Bryant's one of the greatest players I've ever seen play. And he was a complete player. He didn't just play offense like James Harden. He plays both ways. And here's the compliment I have for Kobe, because this is how I felt always. I don't necessarily feel that about LeBron James. Now, maybe lately I do. But most of the time, growing up, when I watched basketball, there were a few people that I knew that I did not want them to have the ball in their hands to beat my team. When the game came down to the final seconds, here were the guys that I didn't want to have the ball. Okay, so I liked the Celtics. So when the Celtics were down and Larry Bird had the ball, I just knew Larry Bird was going to make the shot and the Celtics are going to win because Larry Bird was that good. And then when the Celtics played the Lakers and Lakers had the last shot, I knew Magic Johnson would make the play to win the game, and that scared me because I didn't want the Lakers to win. When I watched the Bulls play, I was a fan of Michael Jordan. I was like, you just keep it a 2 or 3 point game. Michael Jordan's going to find a way to hit the game winner or force overtime. And then I was a fan of teams that went against the Lakers. And every time Kobe had the ball and the game was winding down in the final seconds and the team I was cheering for was up 2 or 3, I just knew we were going to overtime or the Lakers are going to win it. I always was screaming and yelling, watching teams against LeBron, or against Kobe in the NBA playoffs or in a regular season game in the NBA finals. I always remember saying, you have to be up 2 scores. Why would I say that? Because I knew Kobe was going to come down and tie or win the game, and I knew Kobe was going to take the shot. And here's the great thing about Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, even Magic, and Larry Bird, is that everybody in the world knew he was going to take the last shot and still would take it and still would usually make it. And that, my friends, are the greatest players of all time, in my opinion. There are others before I was born that I haven't mentioned that I'm sure were that way back in the day for other people that might be older than me. But to me, that's ultimate basketball compliment. When Kobe Bryant had the ball, you better hope you're up by 4 points. Because if you're not, if you're up 1 or the game's tied or you're up 2, Kobe's gonna hit the shot. We're going overtime. He's going to win it. I saw it against the Phoenix Suns. I saw it in the NBA Finals against the Celtics in Game 7 in 2010. I saw Kobe do it all the time when they won the back-to-back-to-back titles with Shaq. I mean, it's just amazing. I wish I met Kobe Bryant. Academy Award winner, wrote children's books, seemed to be a great father, and was reliving basketball through his 13-year-old's eyes. And he was doing a lot for women's basketball because he wanted to let his daughter know. He didn't have any boys, Kobe Bryant. 4 daughters is what he has. And 13-year-old Gigi is the big basketball fan and player in their on their family. And he was coaching her team, and that's where they're going, to the Mamba Jam or whatever they called it, Mamba Rumble. And that's when he passed away, him and his daughter, in that helicopter crash yesterday. And he was reliving basketball, loving it again, but from a different viewpoint as a fan, as a coach. And he said his daughter was going to do special things, and he kept saying there. He said just recently there's 3 WNBA players that could play in the NBA. Could they really play in the NBA? I don't know. That you can argue that all you want. But the reason he probably said that was to let his daughter know there are no limitations. Just because you're a girl doesn't mean you can't be great. And who knows? Maybe you could be the first girl or woman to ever play in the NBA. I think that's why he threw that out there. That's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. There is new information coming out about the crash yesterday. The helicopter carrying Kobe Bryant, 8 other passengers. We need to remember there were 9 victims, not just Kobe and his daughter. It crashed in a hillside. It was on a climbing left turn about 2,400 feet high before it dove to the ground about 45 miles an hour at impact and then burst into flames. It was traveling through what was reported to be dense morning fog. The pilot was very experienced. The helicopter was a 1991 model, but one of the most expensive types of helicopters out there. It had everything it needed to navigate. Problem is that probably shouldn't have been in the air at the time, from what we're understanding, because there were other helicopters in the area. I'm trying to find it here. The Los Angeles Police Department said that the department's air support division grounded its helicopters yesterday morning due to foggy conditions and couldn't fly until later in the afternoon. They said the weather situation did not meet our minimum standards for flying, so they were not flying. But unfortunately, the helicopter with Kobe Bryant and 8 aboard, including the pilot, they did fly, and we really wish they hadn't. All right, we're going to end with this. You'll hear a lot more stuff coming out about Kobe Bryant, but I want to end with this. This is Kobe Bryant. I have not heard this yet, ladies and gentlemen, so I will hear this with you for the first time, perhaps. Maybe you've heard it before. Kobe Bryant was asked how he wanted to be remembered back in December of 2015.
How do you want to be remembered? What matters to you in this whole discussion of what do you want people to think of?
I've always said that I wanted to be remembered as a player that didn't waste a moment. Welcome to the Kobe Show, take 2. Didn't waste a day.
Kobe, Kobe, Kobe.
And I felt extremely blessed by the God-given talent. But at the same time, I didn't take it for granted at all. So if I could be remembered as a person that was born with a lot of talent, but did everything he could to try to overachieve. You know, he lived every day as if he was the 12th guy on the bench. You know, I think that's a very powerful message to have, and something that hopefully the players that are now and players that'll come later choose to embody as well.